Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease, this is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hello, Rush Nation. Welcome to another edition of Fast Action Friday. We are into week three, and today we have our full team back. Did you enjoy your Daddy Decay, Lewis?
You know what? Last Saturday was so worth them couple days of being a single parent. And yeah, I'm glad to be back, though.
Good. I'm glad that you're back within our ranks. We enjoyed your little video that you had, though, so that was quite good. Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't miss out on all the fun.
Obviously. Obviously, to make our trio complete, we need to say hello to Rob. Hey, mate.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Someone in our 5-yard team has been getting a little bit jealous of our intro videos and has asked for another one. So I've been working hard on putting another intro video together for the DFS team.
Nice.
So, yeah. Getting some stacks of money, putting into some videos, you know.
Was that Nick? Was it Nick calling you out on that one?
It was, yeah. He's keen. He says, it's great to have the countdown and then straight to him. But let's add a little spice at the start of those
juice
shows
to it,
as well.
Yeah.
He wants it.
Nice. Right, boys, let's get to it. First up, Thursday night for Iraq. Okay, so this week's Thursday game was the Steelers at the Browns. We probably don't need to cover this game, really.
Well, I think Browns fans may think otherwise. Maybe some Steelers fans would as well, but sadly for you, Pitts, it's our job. So let's cover quarterbacks first. And yeah, it wasn't exactly a blockbuster event, was it? It was two quarterbacks who were essentially just holding the reins until someone else took over. And it was a modest showing from both of them. We'll talk about Mitch first. He threw 32 times, 207 yards off 20 completed passes. No passing touchdowns. It's kind of what we're used to seeing. Very, very low numbers of you know, passing the ball into the end zone. But just as important, there were no interceptions. And then he faked a handoff to Najee within yards of the end zone to run his own scoring. So he did get scores on that side of things. Two carries for 7 yards and that touchdown. Brissett continues to show why he's a safe option in Deshaun's absence. 21 of 31 attempts completed, 220 yards, two touchdowns. Definitely has his favorite targets. Well, Lewis will cover him in a bit, but you could definitely see the chemistry developing between him and Amari Cooper. Big important plays tonight, and were it for some dodgy footwork, shall we say, it could have been even more for Amari.
Yeah, so carrying on with Cleveland, they led the way in fantasy points last night. Two of their players topping 23 PPR points, and it wasn't the running backs for a change, but Nick Chubb did continue his very nice start to 2022. 113 yards on 23 carries with another touchdown, picking up 17.3 points. But it was the pass catchers for the Browns. Amari Cooper, as you mentioned, 23.1 points, 11 targets on the night, reeling in 7 for 101 yards and a score. And David Njoku finally showing why he was paid the big bucks, catching 9 of 10 balls for 89 yards. Getting in the end zone once, and he was the points leader on the night with 23.9. But moving on to Pittsburgh quickly, sorry, Pitsy, but Deontay Johnson had his third straight game with double-figure targets and had his most catches and yards of the season. So it seems like any lingering sort of issues he had pre-week one, they're firmly in the rearview mirror now, and he picked up over 16 points. Najee Harris, he may not have been 100% himself going into Thursday night football. He only had 15 carries and 3 targets, but he caught all 3. Saved his night with a touchdown, scoring 13.1 points. But for me, the rookie, George Pickens, he had his busiest night so far, 7 targets. And it seems like Mike Tomlin wants to get him more involved, and he had that absolutely absurd Odell Beckham-esque one-handed catch on the sideline there.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll cover the defences as well. Steelers just still look a mess without TJ. Hugely missed with the carnage he just causes. And obviously, they allowed 376 total yards with just 2 sacks. And as we heard, Chubb was able to just run through them and get passed on as well. So it's not great viewing, but the Browns D was also needed some work too, which I would have hoped that Steelers might have been able to capitalize on, as like the Jets did last week. But Steelers were able to move the ball slightly with 308 yards total, and Browns only got 1 sack themselves as well, so it wasn't a great showing from either, but they boosted their stats at the end of the game when the Steelers were trying to do one of those keep the ball alive plays, and it all went horribly wrong. Fumbled it, or at least we threw it backwards with no one there to catch it, and the Browns ended up falling on the ball in the end zone, so it was a touchdown. So they kind of boosted their stats with that one, really. So it wasn't like both D's didn't really do anything special, really. So anyway, I was about to say enough of this game, but we usually talk about the big plays. I know we've just kind of touched on it as well. We kind of all agree that that one-handed catch that everybody's talking about is Pickens. Just, yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. It's incredible.
Very much.
Right. Next up, injury report. Let's go to that. Right, and quick recap Thursday night. There wasn't really any considerable injuries through the offense, but Anthony Walker was taken off in a cart, which may leave Cleveland's defense open even more, depending on the results of that injury. So check on that. Right, so quarterbacks. As expected, Trey Lance has gone on to the season in IR with his serious ankle injury, which was pretty nasty. Dak-esque, wasn't it? Last from a couple of seasons ago. Hard news for you guys to take if you drafted him in his redraft leagues this year. Jimmy G, obviously, stepping in for the rest of the season. Dak Prescott also remains out, obviously progressing quite nicely, though. So he's already going through some practice drills in his rehabbing, so something to kind of keep an eye on and see when he comes back. Herbert remains limited with his rib injuries. Healing hasn't completely fully gone yet, but pay attention to his state of healing after week 3. He's probably going to be playing, but it's just something to watch, isn't it? And again, another one with his fractures is James Winston. He had a tough game against the Bucks last week, played through it, but has also picked up an ankle injury too, so limited practice this week. Likely questionable for the contest against the Patriots.
In terms of running backs, Lenny Fournette has been limited with that tenacious hamstring injury. It just hasn't got rid of it yet. He did play last week, so it's likely that the Bucks are limiting him with the same intentions. So I reckon he could be starting. Damien Harris went down mid-game last week holding his leg, but actually, it turns out in post-game interviews, he was absolutely fine. So he hasn't missed any practices or received a designation. So good signs, especially if you saw it in the game. DeAndre Swift was given Wednesday's practice off by Lions head coach Dan Campbell and was limited Thursday due to the ankle injury that bothered them last week. It's likely he's going to play again, but we all saw what he did. Josh Jacobs was listed as questionable in Raiders reports due to illness. So watch out for updates on him close to the time. And then Cardinals' James Conner is a game-time decision. So that links into Stocks, who's currently commenting on our comments. He is a game-time decision. You have to be aware he's playing in the second set of games and you may need to make a switch or two. So if you're comfortable with any players who are in those 6 o'clock games and you definitely know that they're going to be in, you may not want to take a chance on anyone who's later on. And obviously it depends on the injury as well. So with a game time decision, I'm erring away from Connor, especially with his matchup against the Rams.
Yeah, 100% with Connor, definitely. But onto the wide receivers anyway. Ravens, Devin Duvernay looks in line to miss week three with a concussion. Another player who doesn't look ready for this weekend is Jacoby Myers for New England. He's missed back-to-back practices with a knee injury, and they may need to lean on other receivers in the group. Should he miss time, have a look for Nelson Aguilar, maybe. Could be on waivers still. Corey Davis has also popped up on the Jets injury report after a key role in the comeback against the Browns in week two, also dealing with a knee injury. Michael Pittman is back practicing. He's logged limited participations, but it's good news for the Colts. They'll be hopeful to get him back this weekend. The Cardinals, Rondale Moore is out again for another week, so another Arizona player this week to fade, really.
We have actually had some news on Corey Davis. He has now practiced in full. He's lined to practice in full today, on Friday. So he could be one to miss the injury report altogether for the game. So he could be one to bank on as well. Finally, tight ends. George Kittle may be making his 2022 debut finally this week after struggling with a groin injury. It's good timing because his backup, Tyler Croft, has now suffered an MCL strain. So they need someone at the position. Ross Dwelly can't do everything for the Niners. He has to, you know, you have to spread that workload out. Kittle logged limited practice this week, so, you know, a step in the right direction. Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz, he is also recovering from a knee injury, and it's not clear if he'll be ready to start in week three. Like we talked about before with Connor, it's games on Monday night, so don't take a risk starting if you've got someone you could slot in with certainty in an earlier game, specifically someone who could end up getting a similar amount of points. Don't take the hit and get zero. TJ Hockenson remains limited with a hip injury, so he may end up sitting out Detroit's game with the Vikings, and you know that's a big one. It's a big loss. But you know, they've got the Sun God, so you know, who needs a tight end when you've got the Sun God there? Isn't that right, Pitsy?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. So our third segment, it is weak points. And as usual, you know, we look at those early contenders for particular weaknesses. Should now be seeing some trends appearing in the weak points over the following weeks. Some teams that may stay the same. So do we have any early contenders for these particular weaknesses? We are going off the Fantasy Pros points against charts.
Yes, weakest against the quarterback is the Ravens, letting up 28.1 points. They got obviously the come-behind win from Miami with Tua's air raid attack. They play New England this week. We mentioned Jacoby Myers earlier. But we need to monitor the Ravens' defensive updates. Williams' departure last week was a real turning point, and the Pats could be playing against backups in the secondary for the most part. This is likely where Mac will make his points from, should they wish to pass. The Cardinals are second, 26.9 points. They're facing the Rams in a divisional matchup, so start Stafford wherever you've got him. The Lions are third with 26.8. It's a divisional game against the Vikings. Watch Kirk's connection with this man this week. You know, you might like it and give it a start after the shambles from Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, I was just having a look at the Ravens players before. I've got like a list of the starters in front of me, and it's really only Chuck Clark and Marcus Williams who had a game last week, who looked to be fully fit. So it could be a great game for the Pats. And we'll come to a Pats player in a little bit as well. Weakest against running backs. The Lions are also in the top three of points conceded to running backs, and it's top billing for this particular list. 27.8 points conceded to the position on average. Second are the Lions opponents from last week, the Commanders, and then third is the Titans. So quite a lot to unpack here. As we've talked just then, the Lions face the Vikings. Dalvin Cook, as you know, Lewis, didn't have the strongest of weeks against the Eagles, but this should be a much-needed bounce-back game, much like Kirk, to show that Cook's still got what it takes. The Lions, they play the Eagles this week, and Miles Sanders, he is the hot hand at the moment on this, you know, resurgence offense. 17 carries last week. Hurts has been pinching a few of the touchdowns, but the volume for Sanders is certainly there. And the Titans square up against the Raiders. But to be honest, if Jacobs doesn't recover from this illness, it could be anyone's guess as to who steps up there. There's not really been a significant player taking any time behind Jacobs, but Brandon Bolden had a bit of a game in week one. Zamir White hasn't really featured, so you know, if it's not Jacobs, I'm not really taking a risk with any of those Raiders backups.
Guess as good as any, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, toss a coin.
Right, weakest against the wide receiver, as expected, kind of mirroring the quarterbacks, is the Ravens. They're number one after two as a masterclass in week two on 55.6 points. Second are the Rams on 44.7, who gave up 86 yards and touchdown to a rookie. Drake London last week, and third with 42.2 points and the Falcons. So Baltimore play the Pats this week, as we mentioned. Rams face Cardinals, and Falcons come up against the Seahawks. So players to watch, obviously we've talked about Jacoby Myers being questionable, so Nelson Aguilar from New England could be a little bit of an uptake. He seems to have developed some chemistry with Mac Jones, and he got 110 yards and score against my Steelers last week. This could be another strong week for Hollywood Brown as well when he faces the Rams. I'm expecting a bit of a shootout, and Brown could be a big player in that start line.
Yeah, and moving on to the tight ends finally. The top of the tree is the Cardinals first with 24.4 points. Dolphins second with 17.7, so a little bit of a gap there. And then the Broncos with 16.3. So it seems the Rams and the Cards have been struggling on defense across various positions, but Tyler Higbee has been finding his mojo in recent games. So this is an ideal matchup for him. Plenty of targets going his way. Dolphins play the Bills, so Dawson Knox, he could finally turn up this year. And Denver go up against the Niners, so it's really key to pay attention to the injury reports and stuff for if George Kittle is going to play. And it's the evening game, so you've got to make those lineup decisions early.
Yeah, we had a little Facebook drop asking about whether you play or when you kind of get all the players locked in, and especially if you're busy during the weekend and if it's a Saturday, you've got to try and work it all out. So with all of these, as most things, I think it's, are you willing to work out and drop players and put players in and hope that they all kind of play for you, or are you? I mean, for me, I think I still try and make sure that even at 5-6, my team is as ready as it can go. So it's, I suppose it's as much as on you as to how far you want to go with your team, I guess. So last segment of the week is Flex of the Week. All right, I'm first up this week. My flex is Jahan Dotson. Granted, he's only had 5 targets in week 1, 5 targets in week 2, but he has got 3 touchdowns already this season. And again, against Philly, he's more than likely going to see Washington passing the ball a lot. So he's in with a good chance of carrying that scoring trend on.
Yeah, I like Jahan Dotson. He looked like he's already become a key part of the offense. You know, Curtis Samuel's come in, and then McLaurin's doing McLaurin things, but Jahan Dotson looks like the ideal third.
Good player, yeah, good player.
My pick, and it may come as no surprise because I've dropped his name a few times already in the script, not just me saying it, but I've got you guys to say it as well. Nelson Agholor is my flex of the week. He only played 50% of the snaps last week, and that was down on week one. But he turned six targets into six receptions, 110 yards and a touchdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we all saw what Amari Cooper did to them last night. That six targets was second amongst Pat receivers in week two game. The first in targets and wide receiver snaps was Jacoby Myers. We've already said that he is questionable to play, and that means more snaps, more opportunity for those who remain. Devontae Parker was second in wide receiver snaps. He's only been targeted twice in both games, so it makes me think that the more opportunities will go to Agholor in this game. They face the Ravens, who were torched by the Dolphins last week, ranked first in conceding points to wide receivers, so that's great for Agholor. The Pats can often be seen as a run-first offense, so that could push defenders forward. That leaves the room behind. A key part of this as well is that New England's line are looking like the line of old. They held up well against Steelers defenders, you know, and it's likely why they didn't get sacked, any sacks against the Browns. That could give the Agholor time to run the routes and make space for himself, and Mack the time to find him. I think that's the key thing here. And he should be available on plenty of waiver wires. So if you are in need of a pinch, you're looking for someone in that flex spot, get Agholor on there.
It does seem a favourable option, especially from the waiver wire for this week. But my flex of the week, Michael Carter for the New York Jets against the Bengals this week. He's still the lead back when you look at snap share, and he's had more touches than Hall both weeks. As it seems, Robert Saleh seems to be easing the dynasty consensus 101 into the offense. He's been very efficient in the receiving game. He's had 14 targets and made 12 catches over the first 2 weeks of the season. And the Bengals are letting up receptions to the running back position at a canter, currently over 8 per game. Carter's averaging 13.5 PPR points per game. And so far, he's faced the Ravens and the Browns. So this is arguably the Jets' best matchup so far, especially with Cincinnati not really ticking.
I quite fancy the Jets to win this game. I should say that. I'll give a lot of hope to our Jets fans out there. But
I'm hoping so, actually. We need the Bengals to be knocked down too.
They showed a bit of something against the Browns for me, the Jets did. So, yeah, it's definitely winnable with the Bengals struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sweet.
We've had a comment in the chat. I thought I'd just drop it in. Storm Sills. Nah, Steelers were just pants.
I was going to shout him out. Every single week this week, we've done it 3 weeks obviously now. Every single week he has made a comment and we've not actually said anything to him. So, thank you, Storm.
Pixie, I don't think Storm likes you because he said earlier that Bradford City's colours are
like the
not
colours
very
either.
Nice.
No. That's just Stormer for you. It's all right. We'll take it on the chin. Right, boys. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And, yeah, good luck this weekend. And we'll see you next week. Keep looking.
We are all entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.